You know, what started my message was I was thinking of weeds. You know, everybody has them all around their yard, and it's interesting because a lot of times they come up in all different kinds. You know, you think to be one kind, you look, you know, go out there, and I can't tell you how many times you look, is this a weed or not? And you're not quite sure, and you try to figure out. And I remember, you know, a few months ago, I was outside and trying to teach little Jenalise, my new adopted granddaughter, which is weeds. But they kept changing in different growths and different levels. And, you know, they in all different spots. They're in the grass, they're in the, you know, they're in the beds, and, you know, then you look and they're in the cracks of the roads. They're everywhere. And isn't it interesting how fast they grow? I don't know about you. You can go out there and, you know, pick your yard, and then you turn around and go in, and you sit down, you put up your feet, you say, oh, it's wonderful. And all of a sudden, you know, the next day you're walking up there and go, did I miss this many? Why are they back? You know, it's amazing that sometimes you see some of these weeds growing and, you know, 2 feet high in the middle of the highway where there's, you know, nothing but concrete, and they're there. And yet you'll find them in the most manicured lawns. They got someone there all the time, and it's like the guy will tell you, no matter how much we, you know, put down everything and get out there, they're still coming. So I took that and I looked at some of the things that I said, you know, I was trying to think is what are some of the weeds in our life? And God brought me to pride. I don't know about you, but pride comes into so many lives, my life, and I think I pulled it out or got rid of it, and all of a sudden, there it is, up again. And I don't realize how many different shapes and different ways, but pride comes. So let's look at Luke 18, and I'm going to start at verse 9. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as others men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Well, you know, isn't it funny? Because so often we look at ourselves and we see ourselves as, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, it is so easy to see sin in others than it is in ourselves. And pride is one of the things that many people don't see it. They do not see the pride in themselves. They'll see it in other people first. And isn't it interesting if you're a close friend or a family member, you say to someone, you know, that's very prideful of you. It's like, what are you talking about? And they, even when a loved one is saying you're being prideful, that's, you know, or try to talk to them, they think you're crazy. They don't see it. They have to meditate on it. And I think one of the things is that's one of the things that what's great is the Holy Spirit does so much better than us trying to convince someone. The Holy Spirit then comes along and the Holy Spirit's nudging us inside, and it's hard to argue with that Holy Spirit. You try to, you know, push it aside and go, I'm busy. I get things. Well, if you had the kind of day that I had or the year that I had, you know, I mean, obviously I'm a little off balance, but, you know, I'm not that bad. Isn't it interesting, though, in that same thought, we like to condemn others, you know. We look at them and they fall short, and, you know, we then turn around with that self-righteous attitude, that pride, and it's like, I can't believe that they did that. I can't believe that they're still struggling with that. I can't believe that they come to church and they go around as a happy Christian, and I know that they're struggling with this, this, and this. And then that self-righteous pride, you know, we're right. It's sin. No kidding. It's sin. But then we know, as the scripture says, that we got to get that big log out of our eye. When we're trying to get that speck out of someone else's, that big log in our own. So the sin of pride, there's this moral self-righteousness, the pride that of correct doctrine. As Christians, now we go, I'm a Christian, I'm going to church, I'm pretty, but we don't realize that sometimes we have this pride of, I am studying the right doctrine. And that happens in every single church. Even the ones that we totally disagree with in Scripture on particular doctrine, everybody's holding off to their pride. And I learned a long time ago to be careful of that myself. Phyllis and I were talking about that recently. And I said, through my years of working in the prison system, I would always be involved with other people from other churches, other denominations. And some I work very closely with, and doctrinally, some of us disagreed on certain things. And, one thing this ministry does teach us is about doctrine, and we really go into it, explain it, we know. But then you sit there, and here I am with a brother or a sister, and, what was interesting is there was the same heart. They were there to bring life into the prison. They were there, and God was blessing their church as well as he was blessing my church, and yet we're at total different ends of belief on our doctrine. And I realized that sometimes I can have this pride. I'm in this church, I've got this, this is what God's telling me, my ministry, I'm in the best church. And you should feel good about your church. And you should feel good about the doctrine that you've studied, and this is what God has shown you and led you to, and maybe someone else hasn't found that. But I also looked at, sometimes I walked into a pride. I got this from Bible college, my pastor, or I went to this Bible college. You pick out a great leader, spiritual leader of this time, and you may say, I personally sat and talked with, and you put in your favorite, Dr. Jeremiah or whatever, Pastor, Stevens. I sat right with him in class. And all that is great, but be careful, because just like those weeds, pride comes in, and then we start to elevate ourselves in the subject beyond what it needs to be. And that weed is choking out the life in you and in others. And see, that's what we have to see. When we look at these things, how do we fight and overcome the sin of self-righteousness or self-superiority? Well, when we look at others as sinners, a lot of times, we do see that. I mean, sometimes it's hard not to see. It's there. It's obvious. You see it in your family. You see it. You can't help but see someone fall. Sometimes it's interesting because, again, I face that subject because when something happened in the prison and someone did something wrong, they would be brought down to 10 block, to a certain block, and you're there because you did something wrong. You were caught, with drugs or a fight or whatever, something. But I would go down there every week, cell to cell. And they couldn't always pretend they were asleep. And yet I knew what they were there, I'm at their open bar and it's like, hey, Joe, do you need a daily bread? Yeah. I knew there was no other way he was going to get that or a Bible or something. And the thing is, there'd be a part that everybody, I knew. There's no way he couldn't tell me. It's written in a report, we're told, etc. But then I have to be careful because just as like the Word of God says, there go I but for the grace of God. And I don't know all the pressures of his life, what's going on in his home, his life, his walk with God. the pressure. And then I see that sometimes also, that we're always trying to evaluate, well, I'm not as bad as this guy. And there are times that in our moral self-righteousness, we hate certain sins and crimes. And I can't blame you. I agree with you. You know, I often get accused of that. You know, you're all right with murder? You're all right with a sex offender? It's like, absolutely not. But I do know the answer to sin is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He will come in, He will forgive, He will love. He will discipline, and it's God who's going to judge their hearts, not me. And, you know, so whether I went to some of the state's worst prison hole, you know, guys with the, you know, notorious record, whether I'm standing in front of the guy who's claiming to be a Satan worshiper, and, you know, I don't want to sit in pride that I'm better. Because as I listen to some of them, I could see some of the things that it's like, well, I grew up, you know, in a dysfunctional home. I grew up, you know, being bullied. I grew up with all these other things. Thank God, with the grace of God, I'm saved. He's healing me. He's doing these things. But be careful, because just you often wonder, how in the world did that weed ever grow? I look at the crack of the highway, you know, is three lanes here, and you see, oh, that's concrete, the sun is beating down, the target's so hot, and yet you see this lush green weed. And you go, the crack is that big, and you ever try to pull it out, you can't, you know, it's hard. And what it is, it's common. And just because it's common, that doesn't mean we don't have to watch out for it. Because so often, we need to get into our own lives and do some weeding. Get rid of it. But a lot of times, because it's so there, and, you know, and sometimes we don't realize how it creeps in. Because we sit there and go, praise God. God is with me. He's grown me. He's developed me. I'm pretty good. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not trying to get a quick and easy divorce. I'm not, you know, into homosexuality. I didn't have an abortion. I stopped drinking. I stopped doing all these things. And suddenly, we get a little puffed up. And then now we're going into church, and we're going out into the world. Now, it is good that God has helped you. But again, realize that that little weed, that little seed can start, and you can develop an attitude towards the lost, to the young believer, or even to someone who's been, they've had a Christian for 15 years, and they're still struggling. Come on. They don't have any excuse. They've been to church just as much as I have. And in that, some of that you'd say, well, that's true. But then on the other hand, you've now just put yourself on a throne of pride. If I can resist and I can do this, who am I? I'm better. And all of a sudden, that little weed starts to push up and push up. And, you know, there are times that people don't want to reach out to their family members, their neighbors, or people out in the street, or people in hard times, because it's like, they're not really going to change. He's been doing that for years. He's tried to stop drinking 4 or 5 times. He ain't never going to change. And why am I wasting my precious, valuable time? You know, because I'm so important. And we don't realize that we're walking that way. So, we have this self-righteous pride. We have doctrinal pride. We have, you know, this moral pride. So we have to see these things. And you know, so we know that in Psalm 51:5, there's a teaching there about, you know, sin has been with us, It says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So, you know, before we take this moral high ground, we're a sinner just like everybody else. And how and when it comes out and manifests is different, but we're all in the same boat. You know, sin has been the trouble since Adam and Eve. So whatever your beliefs are, we have to be careful. Now, there are times that you're going to be dealing with people unsaved, and they still got that same pride. I'm an atheist, and I want to tell everybody that I don't believe, and I can prove it. You know, I loved the time, and the state wanted, you know, people to get trained. And someone came up with the idea of having the chaplains, you know, every couple of months to be exposed and widen our understanding of religion. And they would bring in all these people. Well, they brought in to you know, just explain their faith. Right, so we had from the Rastafarian, we had, you know, the Hindu. And then they brought in this guy who was an atheist, and he was an atheistic chaplain. I know, I had that same look. I had that same look. And he's going on, and I'm just like, so you don't believe that there's a God? No. But he wants to form a church. I'm like, well, what are you going to be doing in this church? I mean, you don't worship anybody. You don't pray to anybody. And all these religious teachings out there. Well, we would come together in our unity of promoting ourself. And I want to be like you, you know, chaplains and stuff. I said, well, and I'm being nudged by other people to be quiet, you know, but it didn't happen. You know, well, I said, okay, so if an inmate comes up to you and, you know, he's killed someone and, you know, he's feeling horrible and it's a, what do you give him? You don't give him forgiveness from God. You don't give him love from the world. What are you giving him? That he should feel good about himself? He should raise himself up like, I'm a pretty good killer. I mean, you know, I said, you want to do good, maybe you should go to the Peace Corps. But in spiritual principles, you've got nothing to heal. What tools are you going to give him? You're going to give a broken person broken tools, nothing. I got looks from my boss to, let's move on to the next people. You know, and I'm like, all right, we'll move on. But, you know, isn't it interesting? Because he, and the pride was that he wrote a book and he was from Harvard. I said, God wrote a book. And one of the Muslim chaplains says, Allah wrote a book, you know, and okay, we had all those different things, but it was just interesting the way, you know, it went. And we see in the scripture that, you know, there was some puffed up in knowledge. And a lot of this puffing up in knowledge, we find that today. And, you know, isn't it interesting, you know, there have been times that people get puffed up. Well, I'm saved. I've been saved for 15 years. I mean, I had that one time. You know, there was a little time in Bay State Prison where some of the guys were like, but Pastor, I should be opening up in prayer. I've been saved 15 years. He's only been saved two. I said, well, then you'll have to deal with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit said to use him. And I said, can you find me a verse that says, you know, after 5 years you get this reward, 10 years you get this reward? I said, I don't remember keeping attendance record either. You know, we have to see these things. You know, we have to see, you know, people get very proud. And I believe in, we've been taught doctrine and I understand it. But what I'm trying to show here is that sometimes you'll see groups having a lot of pride. And that's where they butt heads in the prideness. Well, I'm pre-trib. I'm post-trib. I'm mid-trib. You know, And yes, we should take the time, humble ourselves, and maybe talk about it, listen, show it. But if we're all operating in pride, the truth can't get there because we're busy butting heads in pride. So when we see these things, you know, and it's obviously in many other things, but pride over doctrine. You know, I want to shout louder that I'm right. Versus maybe we should just love one another. Get them into the Word. Peacefully show them. Because I always, you know, what I found a lot of times, now, I will never compromise on the Word of God. But there are times I have to be careful because sometimes my approach, I mean, I've said this many times, it's like if you go up to someone and you slap them in the face and say, you're wrong. From that, you know, because we've seen this sometimes in the prison, that, you know, an officer or somebody will, you know, get in a guy's face and maybe even slam him up against the wall. And then they have that speech with them. And I know, because I've talked to some of the guys, and it's like, I didn't hear a thing he said. I nodded, but it was like, wah, 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 wah. I didn't understand it. And then I just said yes to get him out of my back, but I'm not listening to this. I couldn't receive it. And even when you try to do that with other brothers and people that you're trying to witness, to be careful you're not in the pride that you're standing there over them and I'm going to teach you and this is the right way and you're making a mistake because usually we've shut the person down. And a lot of times, I mean, I've had many conversations with the rabbi and with the imams and even some of the Catholic chaplains. And I know where I stand doctrinally. I know the truth, but if I shut them down where we can't have a conversation, then no matter what I say to them, they've not received it. So I always want to be fruitful, and pride gets in the way so often. As it can be as subtle as all that. And so what we have to see is the ability to achieve, we all have that. But there also is a pride that comes along with that. I achieved this. I made a successful business. I took myself out of the streets. I, you know, became a lawyer. I became a doctor. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But be careful that that little hair, that in that accomplishment, that weed from Satan comes and that suddenly you think you're better than others. Because come to find out, we're all the same. And we all, you know, whether you have great education or you came from a family. Famous example here. You say the word Kennedys in Massachusetts. And there was entitlement. I have that name. But then we saw that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, so when we see these things, we have to see. So, any success that we have accomplished is under God. God made it so that you can be successful. I mean, when we think that God is still using us and blessing us, but, you know, what I have to see is that it is God that gave me the ability to earn that degree. It is God that gave me that business sense. That entrepreneur skill. It was God who gave me that compassion to work with people. It is God. It's saved and unsaved. Some of these tasks, how can unsaved? That still comes from God. God loves people, and He gave it. And just because they're not responding right now to the Word of God, that doesn't mean it isn't from God. You know, someone who is, you know, great at, you know, they got a green thumb. Well, they didn't get that really from their mother and father. You can trace all their, you know, genealogy, but it is God that blesses it. And I don't know why there are different things in this world. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7. It says, that the Lord maketh the poor, and he makes the rich, and he brings the low, and he exalts. Not us, not your mother, not your father. You know, now, there are times that maybe as family can help out, but, you know, you can give someone the best of education, and they're not going to make it. You can set someone up in business, but sin gets in the way, and if they weren't called to it, then it's not going to work. So we have to see these things. We have to understand these things. So when I look here and I see, you know, now I have to be careful, because then I turn around and I look in Proverbs 13:4, and it says, the soul of a sluggard, you know, gets nothing done, but the soul of a diligent man, God supplieth. You know, when I turn around and see in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. I got to do my best, but I got to realize my best is through the grace of God. It's God's grace that's going to help me. I mean, if you ever look at some of these, you know, you look at some of these courses and some of these tests, you look at some of these jobs, and you look at what they require of you, you know, you sit there and go, how does anybody do it? How did someone with, you know, no business school not be successful in a business? It's God. But he's not even saved. He's not walking, you know, he's not 100% on fire for God. Oh, so God only cares on those that are perfectly shining and walking? Sometimes we even turn around and say, they're unsaved and he's being blessed and I'm not, you know, I'm saved and how come I don't have that big house? How come I don't have that job? I'm saved and how come God didn't open that door for me? But you have to understand, as we said there in Samuel, it's the Lord that's going to make the decision and the call and the purpose of our life and where he wants us. Well, how come God, you know, they didn't get cancer and I got cancer? You know, I'm a much better person. There comes your pride again. You know, I mean, I've had that many times in prison. I can't believe, you know, my sister's got cancer. Why doesn't one of these bums in there get cancer? And it's like, well, it's not an evaluation in how things are dished out. It's the plan of God to show us, why is little kids going through such thing? And we sit there and in our great intellect, and it's like, not that God ever wants anything to happen to any. That's from the beginning. He's been trying to get us not to sin. But we can go all the way back to Cain and Abel. We can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. And you see a pattern that none of us, you know, are always submitted, surrendered, and obeyed. Now, if Adam and Eve just obeyed, if Cain and Abel just obeyed, and we can go, you know, if David, if he just listened and obeyed, you know, how, I can keep going on, but, you know, and if you and I just obeyed. Now, there's some consequences to a lot of our decisions. And then there's, you know, we have given Satan a lot of things to work with. You know, from our choices and our actions and our beliefs. So, in these prides, you know, I just want us to be careful and watch out, because there's an independent spirit. There's all these things. I want to find myself teachable. I want to have that teachable attitude. I want to have that attitude that in everything and every day, whether it's going to church or going to work, that I know how to get to work. I know how to do my job. I do it for 10 years. You know, because that's one of the things that is funny, because as a chaplain, we get together and sometimes it's funny because it's like, how is it that I know how to preach? I know how to, you know, do this and that, and yet I've got a whole bunch of people, and all the time I don't know what to do. If I'm honest, I can just do something, but I need God's leading. Even if I'm well-trained, I need God's touch. But sometimes, you know, we can look at our degree, we can look at our title, we can look at our church and our position and think, were all set, and that's a form of a weed starting it. Because, you know, no matter who you are, no matter what role God has us in, the weeds, those little things, are going to creep in and continuously, and we have to be out there pruning and pulling out those weeds of pride. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, you loved us with an everlasting, perfect and holy love, that you would even give us your Son. And Father, then we watch your Son in the ministry that you had for him. Oh Lord, that's amazing. And Jesus, that you would come, and through all that you went through, that you would die for us. Who are we to be proudful to think we could do better on our own? That we don't need salvation. There are people that are proud enough to say, I can handle hell. Lord, humble us. Show us. And remind us constantly, saved or unsaved, that we need to be humble before Almighty God. But if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. Accept Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior. He wants to forgive you. Ask him, and you shall receive. Ask him to save you, to heal you, to fill you, to bring new life into you, to bring you to heaven. Oh Lord, we do thank you. Save our souls. Now many here have already made this decision, but if there's someone here who hasn't, and you've prayed that prayer, put your hand up. Tell me after. But accept and watch the life come to you. Father, bless this group here and those that are watching by Facebook this morning. Good job. Glad you're watching. Glad you're there. And we love you. Father, bless us. In your precious and holy name, amen and amen.